Please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. We want to read verses 31 and 32. John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus taught on this occasion that in order to be his true disciples, we must continue or abide in his word. That's an imperative. We just simply cannot be the Lord's true followers if we reject his word or if we do not continue or abide in it. However, if we will continue in the Lord's word, we have confidence that we're being the Lord's true followers. But when we abide in the Lord's word or continue in it, we know something very special. We know the truth. It's important for us to know the truth because the truth makes us free spiritually. That's the kind of freedom that our Lord was talking about. Several months ago, we searched the Lord's word to know the truth on a variety of very important subjects. We studied the Lord's birth. We studied prayer. We studied the Bible. We studied Hades. We also studied heaven. We studied the resurrection. And to be more specific, we studied the Lord's resurrection. We studied the judgment. And we studied the Lord's return. Now, to know the truth on any subject, it's imperative that we continue or abide in the Lord's word. Those were some important subjects that we studied from the scriptures. It's important for us to know the truth on any Bible subject, but those are some very important matters that we studied. At the time, I was wanting to present a lesson on knowing the truth about Christ and the church. But I decided to wait just a little while, and this is a convenient time for us to study that matter. We were just singing about the Lord's church, and I'm afraid that a lot of people do not appreciate the church, but the Lord certainly considers it to be special. Well, today we want to study a text of scripture found in Matthew chapter 16, and as we do so, we want to endeavor to know the truth about Christ and the church. So we're able to increase our knowledge of two very important Bible subjects as a result of studying these passages of Scripture. We're able to increase our knowledge of the Lord. We're also able to learn some important matters relating to the church. Now, information about the Lord is also revealed in many other passages as well as the church. But I never cease to be amazed at the tremendous amount of information that is revealed in this one text of Scripture. We're going to read a conversation that the Lord had with his disciples. And as we examine that conversation, we will see that the Lord revealed some important information about himself, but he also revealed some important information about his church. Matthew chapter 16, let's begin reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, Whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell, or Hades actually, shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, from this conversation, we want to emphasize the fact that we can know the truth about Christ and His church. That's what our lesson is about. The first point that we need to make is that we can know the truth about Christ. Now, on this occasion, we read about some people in verses 13 and 14 who did not know the truth about the Lord. Now, these are people who actually lived during the Lord's ministry. But even they, at least some people, did not know the truth about the Lord. Jesus asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In other words, what do the people have to say about my identity? Who do they say that I am? Well, the disciples were in contact with people. They knew what others were saying. They knew that some people said that Jesus was John the Baptist. Now, there are some similarities between Jesus and John. They both preached the same message. John preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." When Jesus began his ministry, he preached the same message. However, there were some Old Testament prophecies made in Isaiah and Malachi concerning John, that he would serve as the forerunner of our Lord. And that's what he did. John was a great preacher. He was an humble man. He said, "He must increase," speaking of Christ, "I must decrease." And that's a man who has a lot of humility. But he was a strong and a powerful preacher. He called upon people to repent, and he made it very plain. I always like to point out that John did not go to the cities where the people were. He preached out in the wilderness. The people left the cities and went out to hear him. I think that's the mark of a great preacher, when people would leave the comforts of their home and go out to the wilderness to hear John. Of course, he told them what they needed to hear. But Jesus had a very high commendation of John. He said, "There's not a man born of woman greater than John." That's a very high endorsement. But to think that Jesus was John was a mistake. People who thought that did not know the truth about Christ. I wonder why. They had not continued in the Lord's word. If they had, they would have known the difference between John and Jesus. But there were some people who thought that Jesus was Elijah. Now, the Old Testament concluded in the book of Malachi with a prophecy concerning the coming of Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord arrived. Now, that was a clear reference to the coming of John. And Jesus said so in the Gospel of Matthew. Elijah was a great prophet. But Jesus is far greater than Elijah. Others thought that Jesus was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a great Old Testament prophecy, and he's known as the weeping prophet. And I can't help but think about the occasion when Jesus was weeping over the city of Jerusalem. There were a number of likenesses between Jesus and Jeremiah. But Jesus is far greater than Jeremiah could ever be. And then there were some who thought that Jesus was another great prophet from the past. Now, the point is, these people who held those views obviously did not know the truth about Christ. If they had continued in his word, they would have known the truth about Christ. They would have known that he was not the re-embodiment of one of these great Old Testament characters. As great as they were, those men were great servants of God. Jesus is far greater than any of them. But the point is, here is an example of some people who did not know the truth about Christ. I never cease to be amazed at some of the things that I hear people say about the Lord. And sometimes I think, where did you get that? Where did you come up with that idea? You certainly didn't get it from the Bible. But many times people say things about the Lord because they've heard them from somebody else. I know that, and you know that. But a lot of what is said and believed about the Lord is not based on Scripture. In order to know the truth, we must continue or abide in the Lord's Word. Now let's turn our attention to verses 15, 16, and 17. These verses show us that Peter did know the truth about the Lord. First, we pointed out that some people did not know the truth about Christ, but then Peter did. When Jesus said, "Whom do you say that I am?" it was Peter who spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, when Jesus continued talking with Peter, the Lord showed that Peter did not consult with flesh and blood to learn about Christ. Rather, the Father revealed the truth about Christ to Peter. Peter had examined the evidence. Remember that Peter was present when God identified Jesus as his beloved Son. Peter was there at the Transfiguration, and he heard the Father reveal the identity of his Son. But Peter had also seen the works of the Lord. And he knew that on the basis of those works, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now the Lord blessed Peter for recognizing him in that way. Peter recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus pronounced a tremendous blessing to be upon Peter. Now, even when confusion exists, we can know the truth about our Lord. In John chapter 6, there was an occasion when some of the Lord's disciples turned their backs on him and walked no more with him. Jesus had been teaching on some matters that were rather challenging to the people, and they left him. I can't help but think that that really hurt the Lord. When these people walked away from him, he said to the disciples, "Will you also go away?" Once again, it was Peter who spoke up. He said, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And that's in verse 68. Look at verse 69. "And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter continued to know the truth about Christ. He had examined the evidence. The Father had revealed to Peter through this evidence that Jesus is the divine Son of God. So even when confusion exists about the Lord's identity, we can know the truth about Christ. I believe we see that point made in the opening verses of the conversation that we're looking at between Jesus and his disciples. Some people did not know the truth about the Lord's identity. They had mixed opinions about who the Lord was. Not so with Peter. He knew the truth. He knew that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, it's important for us to know the truth on any subject, especially the Lord's identity, in order to be his true disciples and to be free spiritually. "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So as we examine this conversation that Jesus had with his disciples, we can know the truth about Christ. Regardless of what others say, if we will continue in His Word, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, let's look further at this conversation that the Lord had with His disciples. Not only can we know the truth about Christ, but we can know the truth about the church. That's a very important subject. And unfortunately, a lot of people are confused about the church. Why? Because there's been a failure by many people to continue in the Lord's Word. That's why there's so much confusion about the Lord's identity. If people will just continue in the Lord's work, they'll know who He is. But even though there's a lot of confusion today concerning the nature of the church, we can clear up that confusion. We can know the truth if we'll just continue or abide in the Lord's Word. Well, we certainly don't have time in one lesson to cover everything that the Bible has to say about the church. Let's make a few points that are made in this conversation that Jesus had with His followers in Matthew chapter 16. As we look at verses 18 and 19, we see that the Lord revealed some very important information about the church. For one thing, Jesus taught that there's one church. I want you to notice that He used the singular word church. He did not say churches. He said church. Now at that time, the church had not been built, but Jesus said, I will build My church. And He was going to accomplish that in a relatively short time. Let's consider some other information, though, that goes along with this point. Let's look at Ephesians 4 and read verse 4. In verses 4, 5, and 6, the Apostle Paul listed out 7 items that are unique. They are unique in the sense that there's only one of each of them. I want you to notice what's first on the list. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 says, there is one body. Now you might be thinking, preacher, I thought you were talking about the fact that there's one church. Bear with me. How many bodies are there? One. I can't help it, but every time I think about that, there's an image in my mind of a little baby celebrating its first birthday, and it can hold up one finger. Now, when the second birthday rolls around, he has a challenge going from 1 to 2. It takes a little while to get that worked out. But you know, a little child can count to 1. How many bodies are there? 1. That's not my word. That's from an inspired apostle. Now let's let that same inspired apostle tell us what that one body is. Go back to chapter 1 and let's read verses 22 and 23. And hath put all things under His feet, that is, the Father put all things under the feet of His Son, and gave Him, that is His Son, to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. What is that one body that we've already read about in chapter 4? According to what Paul wrote in chapter 1, it's the church. This is not the only place in the Bible where that is taught. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1 and read verse 18. Colossians 1 and verse 18 says, and He, speaking of Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus taught in Matthew 16 that He was going to build one church. And as we go through the New Testament that was written after the church came into existence, we find that there's one body. What is that one body? It's the church. Now, it's interesting that when Jesus was giving the Great Commission to his disciples, he told them to teach, to baptize, and teach all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, when we study the writings and the teachings of the apostles, in reality, whose teaching are we following? Well, we're following the teaching of the Lord. Jesus taught his followers that there's one church. That's exactly what they wrote. Let's learn something else about the church that is revealed in the Lord's conversation with his disciples. Jesus taught that the church belongs to him. He said, "My church." He didn't say ours. He didn't say your. He said, "My church." You know, that's very emphatic, isn't it? Not long ago, I had the opportunity to introduce Teresa, and I said, "This is my wife." Now, did I have to go down the list and explain that she wasn't the wife of everybody else on the face of the earth? No, when I said my wife, that settled it. Well, we understand what that means. Jesus said, "My church." The church belongs to him. We would do well to remember that. Now, we're talking about knowing the truth about the church. And Jesus said, in order to know the truth on any subject, we must continue or abide in his word. Well, he taught during his ministry that not only is there one church, but he said it belongs to him. It is the Lord's church. Furthermore, as we continue to want to know the truth about the church, we see that Jesus is the builder of it. He said, "I will build my church." Well, that just makes sense that the church belongs to him. Jesus is the builder of it. Now, why is it so important that we recognize Jesus as the builder of the church? Let's look at a passage in the book of Psalms that I think goes right along with this point. Let's look at Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Let's look at the first part of the first verse. Now, the inscription for this psalm, my Bible says this is a song of degrees. There are 15 psalms in that particular section, beginning at Psalm 120 and going through Psalm 134. They're relatively brief. It's my understanding that the Israelites would recite these particular psalms as they traveled to Jerusalem to observe their feast. You see, Jerusalem was on an elevated place. As the Jews traveled toward Jerusalem, they would be going up by degrees. The American Standard Version refers to these as the songs of ascents, that is, ascending. Well, they're relatively brief, beautiful psalms. And if the people would meditate upon these psalms and recite them and quote them to one another, when they got to Jerusalem, their minds would be ready for worship. Well, notice how this particular psalm begins. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." Why is it so important for us to recognize Jesus as the builder of the church? Well, it's vain to think of anyone else building it. The Lord is the builder. And I believe if we would understand that fully, we can more fully appreciate the fact that the church belongs to Him. Jesus is the builder of it. By the way, what was the price that the Lord paid for the church? Acts 20 and verse 28 says He purchased it with His own blood. Let's consider something else that Jesus revealed about the church in His conversation with the disciples. He said that He would build His church upon this rock. Now, exactly what does that mean? We have to keep in mind what Peter had just said. He recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. It was on that rock that Jesus said He would build His church. By the way, there are some other passages that we need to study very carefully in connection with this. Keep in mind that Jesus said to Peter that He would give him the keys of the kingdom. Who was the main spokesman on the day that the Lord's church came into existence? We read about that great event in Acts chapter 2. That was the day of Pentecost that followed the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. It was a very important feast day for the Jewish people. The disciples were in Jerusalem. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. There was a great crowd of people present. The apostles were all together, but who was the main spokesman? None other than the apostle Peter. And as he presented his great sermon, he led up to the conclusion that God had made that same Jesus that had been crucified both Lord and Christ. Now, what did Peter say concerning the Lord's identity back in Matthew 16? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said He would build His church upon that very rock, that foundation. That's what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. By the way, the main point that he emphasized was that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave. He proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt, showing that He truly is the Christ. Let's tie in another passage. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3 and read verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus said He would build His church upon the fact that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock or the foundation upon which the church is built. Furthermore, Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevent Him from building His church. Now we need to understand that the word hell sometimes refers to Hades. Sometimes the word hell is used to refer to the place of eternal punishment. Sometimes it's used to refer to Hades, which is the place of departed spirits. Once again, what did Peter emphasize in his great sermon on Pentecost? In Acts chapter 2, he emphasized the fact that Jesus had been raised from the dead. He quoted from Psalm 16, written about 1,000 years earlier by David, and he explained that great prophecy. He said that David was talking about the resurrection of Christ. Jesus died, all four gospel writers saying Jesus gave up the ghost when He died on the cross. That is, His spirit departed from His body. That's when death occurs, according to the gospel, the book of James. That's when death occurs, when the spirit departs from the body. Well, where does the spirit go? The Bible teaches that the spirit goes to the place known as Hades to await the judgment. Our Lord's spirit went to Hades. But it was prophesied that it would not remain there. On the third day, the Lord's spirit was reunited with his body, and he was resurrected from the grave. You see, the gates of hell, or Hades, did not prevent Jesus from building his church. He overcame death when he was resurrected from the grave, and he built his church just as he said he would. One other point that we'd like to talk about in more detail this evening is that Jesus spoke of his church and the kingdom of heaven interchangeably. Back in Matthew chapter 16, he mentioned building his church in verse 18, and then he mentioned in verse 19 that he would give the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the apostle Peter. It's important for us to understand that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of heaven and his church interchangeably. Well, that deserves more time than we can give it today. So, Lord willing, this evening, we'd like to take a more detailed look at the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful kingdom it is. Jesus mentioned it in connection with building his church. Well, the people in Matthew 16 and verse 14 did not know the truth about Christ. However, Peter shows us that Jesus can be properly identified if we will go to the right source for information. To know the truth on any subject, we must continue or abide in the Lord's Word. Well, it's unfortunate, but confusion still exists today about the church. But we can know what the Lord wants us to know about the church by simply going to the right source for information. If we will continue in his word, we'll know the truth. In closing, we need to point out that according to Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord adds those who are saved to his church. That's the way that Acts 2 concludes. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we comply with the Lord's instructions to be saved, he will add us to his church. And what a blessing that is. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 and read verse 13 in connection with exactly at what point we become members of the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." There's one plan. It relates to everyone. It relates to Jews. It relates to Gentiles. You know, we have a lot of conflict in our world today. We have a lot of conflict in our country. And isn't it sad that the one who came to bring peace to all men has been rejected? If we'll just continue in his word, we learn how to be forgiven of our sins and to become members of the Lord's church. Wouldn't it be great if all people would put aside all the hatred and bitterness and anger and just live according to the Lord's will? I happen to believe what Jesus said when he said, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Well, let's remember that when we study any Bible subject, the truth is revealed to us. We can know it. If we'll live by it, the Lord will be pleased.